Welcome to this week's Crowd Church service. We are a digital church on a quest to discover how Jesus helps us live a more meaningful life. We are a community, a space to explore the Christian faith, and a place where you can contribute and grow. I want to invite you to connect with us here at Crowd Church, and there are a few ways that you can do just that. Firstly, you can engage with Crowd from any device during our live stream. And if you're up for it, why not invite a few friends over and experience the service together? You see, church is all about connecting with God and connecting with others. And one of the easiest ways for you to do that is to also join one of our midweek groups where we meet online together to catch up and discover more about the amazingness of Christ. You can also subscribe to our podcast called What's the Story, where we deep dive into stories of faith and courage from everyday people. More information about all of these things that I've mentioned can be found on our website at www.crowd.church, or you can reach us on social media at Crowd Church. If you're new to Crowd or new to the Christian faith, and would like to know what your next steps to take are, well, why not head over to our website, crowd.church/next, for more details. And now, the moment you've been waiting for is here. Our online church service starts right now. Well, good evening and welcome to Crowd Online Church. Now, if you are watching this on YouTube or Facebook, it's going to feel a little bit different because normally there is someone sat right next to me, and there is, but there's a bit of a gap because I can. I just flipped this switch and there's.
Oh, hello.
There's Will.
We are multi-platforming.
We are multi-platforming tonight, ladies and gentlemen. For the first time ever, we are live streaming on Instagram as well. Hence the reason we have two camera setups. If you're on Instagram, it will make much more sense. But hopefully we're going to keep it, you know, real. But it's a massive experiment, right, Will?
It is. I have never been multi-platformed before. It's incredibly exciting. But let's see how it goes.
Yeah, you really need to be careful who you say that to. just putting that out there. But technically, we multi-platform every week because we go to
that's very
YouTube
true.
And to Facebook. But now we have We've had it already.
We've only just started. Come on.
Added the gram. So, yes. So, if you are watching us on Instagram, a very warm welcome to you. It's great that you're here. Do write in the comments. Be great to see if anyone watches it on Instagram. It is a bit of a trial. We appreciate that. And we're going to see how it goes. And Dan Orange, if you're watching, you are going to have to do this next week. Because
that's on the other end of the phone, though.
No. Next week is my birthday.
Is it?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Next Sunday is my birthday. And I will
33.
Be...
33. Well done. Fantastic. It's finally reached that milestone.
Yeah. That's... Woohoo! It's great news, isn't it? And so, but actually next week I'm on a course from 7:45 in the morning till 7 o'clock, Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
So I'm literally going to be incognito next. I might actually try and sneak Crowd at the end of the course if it's boring, but yeah.
I hope it's interesting. 3 days of that, 12-hour days on your birthday. I mean, it's got to be good.
It was supposed to be this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but they moved it to the weekend. So anyway, that aside, warm welcome to Crowd Church. If you don't know us already, my name is Matt. Beside me, this rather handsome chap is Will Sotwith.
Hello,
everyone. And it's great that you are with us too, with our online church service now on three platforms, streaming live on three platforms. Do say hi in the comments. Be great to hear from you. Matt says happy 500th birthday to Matt.
Yeah. Charming.
It's unlike Crew, to be rude.
It is unlike him, actually.
Did you know that Crew is the Greek word for rude? Oh, we're just joking, obviously. But yeah, warm welcome to you. If you're whatever platform you're on, it'd be great to hear from you. Do say hi in the comments. What have we got coming up today, Mr. Will?
Well, we have got the wonderful Dave Connolly giving an overview of the gifts of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of a new, I believe, new season in Crowd, talking about the Holy Spirit. So please have your questions and your comments ready. And yeah, we'll be chatting a little bit further after the talk from Dave Conn.
Yes, we will. So without further ado, again, this is an experiment with the talk for Dave. So again, if you're watching on Instagram, let us know how this works out. I've actually got it on my phone here as well. So, I've just switched it off. That's not what I wanted to do. There we go. So I've got it on my phone as well. So we're going to play the talk. Will and I will be back after this for Conversation Street, which is just where we go through your questions, your thoughts, your comments, your ideas about the talk. And so this is the amazing Dave Connolly, a good friend of Crowd Church, one of my closest mentors, dads, just an all-round good old chap, isn't he?
He's a dude.
He's a dude, absolute legend. All right, here's Dave. We'll be back shortly.
Welcome. Good to be with you. Today's topic is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And our reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. And I'm going to read today from the English Standard Version. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one it is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. There is something so amazing about this scripture, and there is so much that we can learn about the Holy Spirit. He descends, he decides, and he gives. It's the Holy Spirit. He knows all things, and he determines who will receive which gift. Each gift is given with the same objective, to edify the church. Each church will have unique people, but not unique needs, and the Holy Spirit will exercise his authority to manifest the gifts in the people of God for that church and for that season, for those needs. Each gift is a powerful display of God's authority and power on the earth today. And as believers, we have access to all 9 gifts and the ability to stir up these gifts in us through the Holy Spirit. Let's take a moment to list and comment on these 9 gifts. Let's begin with the word of knowledge. This is a supernatural knowledge. It's insight into things we would not or could not naturally know. The word of wisdom, supernatural ability to correctly apply knowledge to a situation. Prophecy, receiving a direct word from the Lord, usually to give to someone else. Faith, a supernatural measure of faith to be able to trust God for a specific situation. Healing, the supernatural ability to pray for someone to receive healing. Working of miracles, the supernatural ability to perform a divine act by which God reveals himself to people. An example of this would be parting the Red Sea, discerning of spirits. Supernatural insights and knowledge involving other spirits. For example, angelic or demonic activity or influences. Different kind of tongues. Supernatural ability to speak in a natural foreign language or to speak in a heavenly language. interpretation of tongues, a supernatural ability to interpret the heavenly language. When praying and seeking God for the gifts of the Spirit, we must ask ourselves, why am I pursuing these gifts in my life? We don't want to find ourselves being like Simon the sorcerer, who we can read about in Acts chapter 8, verses 4 to 24, who after witnessing the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of Peter and John, offered them money to have the same authority in the Spirit. He was seeking the gifts out of a place of jealousy for personal gain and benefit. Do we desire to manifest the gifts to make our name known? Or do we really deeply love the church? We love it so much that we want to be part of the life and the growth of the Church of Jesus. Paul concludes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with this, with the importance of working in unity to glorify God. The church members are not competing or attempting to outdo each other, but instead are moving in oneness to reach out to the lost with the message of salvation and to see God glorified. Paul further clarifies that we should search our hearts and our motives when we exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 and 3, he says this, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all of the faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. I found it interesting that there are 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit and 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. The number 9 in the Bible symbolizes divine completeness. Where there are 9 fruits show God's impartation of his divine nature into us. The 9 gifts are a manifestation of his power working through our lives. Allowing the Holy Spirit to impart and manifest in our life is one of the greatest gifts from God. Jesus said in John 16, verse 7, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you, to be in close fellowship with you. As we draw to a close today, can I leave these thoughts with you? The Holy Spirit is our lifelong companion. We should strive to develop our ongoing relationship with him. We should want to see the evidence of his fruit in our lives as we grow and seek to make our heart a home for our Heavenly Father. It is such a blessing and privilege to partner with the Holy Spirit, also to receive gifts that will encourage and strengthen and empower other believers, and to lead others to Jesus. Our salvation is a gift from God, and a life partnered with the Holy Spirit, activated in love, is our greatest contribution to this world. As we draw to a close today, my prayer is that we would learn to walk in all the authority and power the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has granted to each of those he calls his own. God bless you.
So, welcome back. Great talk by Dave there. He's actually watching on Facebook. He's joined us on Facebook. So, even Dave, thanks for doing that. You're absolute legend. If you joined us, join the talk. My name is Matt, and beside me, this handsome chap here is...
Will.
We'll start with. And we're doing things slightly differently tonight. If you're a regular to Crowd, you'll notice that we have two shots. This one and this one. This one and this one. Oh, yes. So normally we're side by side and it's a single shot. But tonight we are live streaming to Instagram as well as Facebook and YouTube. And the thing about Instagram is it needs vertical video, right? Whereas YouTube and Facebook are horizontal. So we have to do it this way. So if you watch on Instagram, there's just me in the middle. Otherwise, if we tried to do the shot where we're both together, then it's kind of like we have to get very close.
We're a little too huddled.
Just a little too huddled. So I'm going to try and remember to flick back and forth like this on the scenes. But yeah, warm welcome to you if you're joining us on the Instagram, on the old gram, or if you're on YouTube or Facebook. It's great to have you here. So let's get into Dave's talk. What stood out to you, Mr. Will?
Yeah, I mean, spiritual gifts, it's a massive area that can feel a bit weird, I think, sometimes for some people. Because it's supernatural. Like, I suppose anything that's not natural, it's supernatural, feels a bit, you know, it's not your everyday experience for most people. So, but no, I thought it was a great unpacking. I love Dave's point about the motivation and the fact that they're all from the same Lord.
Yeah.
And that although there's such a diversity of spiritual gifts, they all come from the same God. And they're all a reflection of that same character of the God that we know. And I think that's a really important point to remember when you start getting into the detail.
Yeah, it is. And I love how in 1 Corinthians 12, in that portion of scripture, Paul lists the gifts. And then he talks about the body. And there's that famous phrase, I say it's famous, so it was famous to me, I suppose, the hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. And so there's that expression of actually, Paul says the manifestations of the Spirit are given different ways to different people at different times.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're all as he wills, the same Lord. It's all God's doing. But we are all one body and it doesn't matter what part we play in that body, we're all needed.
Yeah.
And so... I remember, you know, you'd read stories about people like Smith Wigglesworth, who obviously operated in things that we would call like the gifts of healings, the gifts of faith, the working of miracles. I think it's easier to judge yourself against that. Do you know what I mean? And think, I'm not as much of a Crisbo, maybe a Smith Wigglesworth, but I love that. It's the same God, but the hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And it's like picking any team, isn't it? It's like God is building a team. It's a great way to think about a church or any kind of community of faith, even if it's an online community like Crowd, that if you're building a team, you want to build those different skills and those different gifts, and you don't want the same one. You don't want everyone to be operating in prophecy the whole time.
Yeah.
You might get nothing done. Or there's a kind of, you know, if everyone's got that same gift, there could be a competitive edge that maybe comes in if you're not, you know, really operating in God's grace. But I love that idea that God looks at any community around the world, any church community, and says, this is the balance of gifts that are needed for this community to express the kingdom of God and to express my character to the population that they are. And that may look different in different settings, which, I think it's really interesting.
So... thinking then about the gifts of the Spirit, let me just put everything in context, because we're talking about becoming whole. That's the series that we're in, right? We're talking about wholeness. The first part of that we're talking about is about being spiritually healthy, right? And so someone who is spiritually healthy is going to be, you know, a man of or a woman of prayer. They're going to know, you know, have revelation of scripture, as we'd call it. They're going to hear God. They're going to know a few things. We're going to get next week, we're going to start this sort of little sidestep into the fruits of the Spirit, because if you're spiritually healthy, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, all those sorts of things are going to be evident in your life. Mm. You're doing one of the talks, right?
Indeed. Yeah.
Did you know this?
Yeah, I did. It's all under control, Matt.
So I've just actually finished draft one of my talk on kindness. But we've got that coming up. Now, sandwiched in between then, the fruits of the Spirit and the other things that we have talked about where spiritual health is concerned, is this whole idea of the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, that someone who is spiritually healthy is going to be experiencing in some degree the gifts of the Spirit in their life. Would you concur with my conclusion? And you have to.
I concur. It's an interesting challenge, though, isn't it? Because, as I said, this is kind of supernatural stuff. And we might think, as Christians, oh, that this belongs to the kind of heroes of the Bible.
You know, yeah.
The apostles healing people, working miracles. Jesus working miracles. We don't necessarily think of it as part and parcel of just being a healthy Christian. I think it's a really good challenge for us that, well, actually, yeah, it's the same God. This is the God. This is the same Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that we profess to have at work in our lives. So therefore, the gifts of the Spirit are going to feature.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not something, certainly in the stream of church that I grew up in, it wasn't really talked about in the same kind of way.
Yeah.
So I don't think I grew up thinking, yeah, this is just a natural part of being a Christian. But it absolutely is. Yeah. Seeing the manifestation of God in that kind of unusual way, supernatural way, actually should be part of our, yeah, part and parcel of being a Christian.
Yeah.
And that's an exciting adventure.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, the gifts of the Spirit in effect, that, you know, that it's the working of God, or the outworking, isn't it? The manifestation, the outworking of God through his people on earth through various different ways, the nine gifts that were listed. So Matt wrote in the comments, what spiritual gifts has God given you, Matt and Will? I'm going to see if I can put his, how would you answer that?
So I asked Matt before we came on. It wasn't what spiritual gift you had so much as what spiritual gift you'd want. And he said healing.
Yeah.
I think, God's definitely given me a gift of prophecy and of healing, I'd say.
Yeah.
And that's been something that I've sought God for. It's not something, I guess it's not something I feel I've naturally had so much as something I've particularly asked God or grown in God but I'd say those two. So what about you?
Very good question. I would say in some respects I've touched all of them, and there are definite stories or experiences of God that I would put down through to some of them. I think sometimes I remember when I was at Bible school and we spent weeks studying the gifts of the Spirit. Like, how do you define the difference between this and this? And I think sometimes it's less about the definition and more just about getting on with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm totally with you there. That would have driven me absolutely mad. Spending weeks on that.
But I think here's the interesting thing, isn't there? In some respects, when you say, what's your favorite gift, or what gift would you admire the most? And I go, well, obviously the power gifts, you know, Jeremy Clarkson, more power. just because that's how my brain works, but that's not how every brain works. Praise the Lord. you know, but I'm a big fan of those kind of things. So here's another question for you is, maybe Dave can answer this actually, because Dave's in the comments as well. And I see, Dave, you've put a comment there. We'll come to that. But is things like praying for healing, you know, when you pray for someone at church to be healed, or it doesn't have to be at church, obviously, but when you pray for somebody to be healed and they get healed, is that the gift of healings, or is that just a general being obedient to the word of God?
You've been watching Matt and Will. Yeah, it's no, I think, one. I mean, there is, when you dig into it, as you did in Bible college, there are kind of offices and there are just natural being part of a Christian. I think what we're talking about probably today is more that just flow of God's power in our kind of everyday Christian life. And so those gifts of the Spirit, I believe, are absolutely available to anybody, anyone that's a Christian. I think sometimes It may be a particular time in your life, maybe a particular person that's appointed to be a prophet or a discerner of spirits or something. And that it sort of becomes then an office in a sense of someone's sort of identity in God a little bit more. But no, I agree that it's a part of following, obeying God's word and therefore being gifted. As his word says. And I think people, in talking about it in depth, you can get a little bit hung up on whether you've got this gift or whether you've got that gift. And I think you do begin to lose something there, that just being open really to however God wants to use us in any situation. And many times he'll use us in a way that we don't recognize as maybe being part of who we are.
Yeah.
It may not be something that happens a lot. There may be times when you pray for someone and they get healed, and other times they don't. It may be a one-off. Mm. I don't think it matters too much, but it's the faith that God can bring something that's not of ourselves that actually breaks and empower in some way, not of our own ability. And that's an important faith journey for each of us, to see how God uses us in that way.
Yeah. No, it's very, very good. It's very good. It was a slightly trick question, but because I think, like you say, we can get sometimes just caught up in the definitions of these things. And maybe it is, interestingly, Dave wrote his answer here that Dave said it's both.
Yeah.
Which is probably where I'd fall. So he's put here, we can all stand on God's word as and when, but there are people who carry a greater measure of the gift and are regularly involved in praying for the sick and seeing them healed. That's a really interesting point. And you talked about that, didn't you, in terms of there are offices. So I think it is the responsibility of Christians to pray for the sick based on what I see in scripture.
Absolutely. And I think we can sometimes hide behind it and say, oh, well, I've not been given that particular gift, so I'm not going to do such and such. And that's kind of missing the point of growing in God, and that relationship of God. And Paul says in the New Testament, he says, desire the gifts, he talks to Timothy about fan into flame the gifts given you. It's both. There's those that are particularly given, and it might be someone particularly praying for you and saying, believe God's giving you this particular gift. And I've prayed that for individuals, and people have prayed that for me. And sometimes it's just getting on with it. And allowing God to use us in lots of different situations, in lots of different ways. Yeah. And like you said, you kind of touched on all of the gifts at some point in your life. And I think that is a healthy Christian life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember, Dave, and help me if I'm remembering this story incorrectly, but I remember when Dave came back from, I'm going to say Argentina, but I think it was in South America somewhere. And he had seen someone who I would say was operating in the gifts of miracle, the working of miracles and healings, as I was listening to them, with stories of arms growing out, legs growing out. And just, crazy, crazy miracles, people being raised from the dead and so on and so forth. And what fascinated me, I remember the talk because, and again, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the way I remember it is, the chap that was talking about raising people from the dead, he was like, everybody wants to be able to do that because that sounds really cool, right? But his comment was, I have paid a high cost. Do you see what I mean? And there was a high cost in his life. And I think for when you look at the apostles, the working of miracles, gifts of healings, all those sites, they ultimately paid a high cost for the manifestation of the Spirit. And which I'm, wherever God leads me, that's fine. But I think there is a grace upon us to work and function in those gifts if that's our office. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, and I think for the guy that was raising the dead on a fairly regular basis, there was a grace upon him to be able to deal with the cost of walking in that calling. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, we're going deep this evening.
We're going very, very deep. Very deep. I've got a thumbs up from Dave.
But so. And I think that's part of the... that point that I was making before about God kind of selecting his team and choosing the gifts. And Dave mentioned this about appointing different gifts for different individuals. And I imagine in that setting, there was a real, that's a massively powerful thing. People being raised from the dead, that's massively going to get attention of all sorts of communities who hear that. And I believe that for that community in that setting, that was a really important part of their living in kingdom and seeing others come to know Jesus. Now, in other settings, that might not be the thing that, that does it. And it might be a discernment. It might be, and I can't remember all the nine. This is terrible. it might be healing. It might be prophecy. It might be faith. Other less kind of obvious things. But where someone has an office for it, then it's a particular need that God appoints someone to say, this is your function. This is your identity in this church community. But actually in the kind of, in the more kind of run of the mill, it could be the whole range. But I think that that point of listening to God and hearing it and desiring more of God in our lives is a really important opening up then for those gifts and that supernatural.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it's such a powerful point, isn't it? That the claim that we make is that we serve a supernatural God.
Yeah.
That has involved himself in a supernatural way in humanity. And as Christians, we believe he is going to continue to do that through his people. So therefore, as his people, we should expect and not be surprised if God outworks the supernatural through us.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things it says here in the scripture that Dave read, all of these gifts come from the same Spirit who gives to each one individually as he wills. And I think this is an important point when it comes to these kind of things, because when it comes to stepping out in the gifts of the Spirit, I think it's as he wills, not as I will, as Will will.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the point made that the story Dave referred to, the motivation of the gift is really important. And it's this guy in Acts that, if you've been following the Acts series, you'll remember the story of where he sees the power from the laying on of hands of the disciples, and he offers them money. And he says, oh, this would be great. This would be great for my little brand going on. I'd like this as well. I can make a lot of money out of this. And the disciples said, no, you've got this all wrong. And I think our motivation, it probably isn't as obvious as that, but where our motivation is maybe a little bit more self-focused than Christ-focused, then, that whole gifting area. I mean, it gets messy. I think you do see people that actually are definitely anointed by God, and I feel very uncomfortable with the way they're using that gifting, because it just feels all about them and all about their platform. But, you know, who are any of us to judge? But I think the motivation is absolutely key. That if you're interested in kind of pressing more into God and into that kind of power side of God, then, make sure you've got a good heart in it and make sure you're doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah, well, I've just put on the screen there. Oh, it's just disappeared as I flipped from one side to the other. There is purpose in the gifts. God gives gifts for the strengthening, building up of God's people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really key point.
It's such an impact. I'm just going to put my glasses on. It says 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's the critical thing. It's what Dave says there, that there is a purpose behind the gifts of the Spirit. And it's not to build the Matt Edmondson brand.
No.
It's not even to build the crowd church brand, but it is to build his kingdom, and it is for his glory. It is for the common good. And I think I've seen a lot of people who are gifted at certain things. Like you say, it starts to be more about their good rather than the common good, if that makes sense. And I get, like you, I get very uncomfortable in those kind of situations when I see people doing that. Because it becomes more about the gifts rather than the giver of the gifts.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not a good witness for God, for the church, at all, because it becomes grandstanding. It's like, well, you start talking about the humility of God and servant-heartedness and all the rest. And it just doesn't tally. And it says very clearly in the Bible, in the New Testament, it says test the spirits. You know, don't just take any gift and go, oh, this must be from God. It's like, no, test it very carefully. And I love Dave's point again of that they come from the same Lord, that we can look at the kind of character behind a gift or I suppose, I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but if it doesn't match up with the character of God as we understand it from the rest of Scripture, then I think that's a really good test of like, I'm not sure where this is coming from.
Yeah.
And I think particularly with something like prophecy, where something is kind of spoken and says, thus saith the Lord, and there's a kind of an authority on something someone says because they say, I'm gifted as a prophet.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen this actually quite recently in, you know, in the last few years about kind of pronouncements being made that actually have turned out to be completely false. Just adding, oh, God says this and I'm a prophet to something, it's on us all to test that anyway, to test it against Scripture, test about our understanding of God. And you know, with an open mind and say, God, teach me where I'm wrong and challenge me where this is real. But it's important as well to test that motivation.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very true. And I think if you're listening to this and you're new to Christianity and you've not really moved in the gifts of the Spirit as we're talking about them, it can almost come across as, you know, what we're talking about is a bit of a scary thing, something to be afraid of, but it isn't, because you know, it's God in you. You can discern what is going on and you can trust God. Sadaf's put here in the comments through Instagram, and I'm going to try and look at that. It works. I just love it when it works. I'm so excited that this is working right now. Sorry if you've already covered this, but my question is, can you have different spiritual gifts at different phases of life?
So I think, yeah, absolutely. But I'd be interested to know what you think. And I think, and again, it's because thinking about the giver and the reason the gifts are given, there are particular seasons, particular situations, particular groups of people where a gifting is... Oh, have we gone?
Yeah, you've gone. Why have you gone?
I've no idea. I touched nothing.
I'm just going to do this
anyway.
Carry on.
I'm not on that screen either, so I don't know where it's the camera. Yeah. Anyway, so if you could imagine being in a particular community of faith, particular fellowship at one point where, yeah, there's a need for a particular gift, and I think God could give you that for a time. There may be another time when actually it's there we go. Sorry, just fiddling with the tech here. Where maybe that's not needed, and it may be. I mean, for me certainly, I know there's been times in my life when I've moved in a particular gift much more than others. It doesn't necessarily have to happen that way. And I think it probably depends a little bit on the way we're using it and fanning into flame and practicing it. But I think, there are times when I felt gifted by God in something and other times when I just really haven't. And I've just not felt at peace to operate in that gift. And sometimes that's because there's other people that are doing that and God needs me to be doing something else. So, I absolutely think so. But what do you think, Matt?
Hang on. Sorry. It's all going a bit Pete wrong with these cameras, isn't it? Do me a favour, Will. Just turn that radiator off while I answer your question. I think the cameras are overheating. Just open the door slightly and let some air in. It is like a sauna in this room right now. So, to answer Sarah's question, can you have different spiritual gifts at different phases of life? I think you can have different spiritual gifts at different times of the day. I genuinely do. And I think you can have different gifts depending on who's in front of you as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, for example, in a church service, you do this a lot. You know, you pray for people on a Sunday morning. They come forward. There's, you know, we do prayer ministry. You're going to cycle through different gifts of the Spirit depending on who you're praying for. Right.
Yeah.
That said, I think that there are gifts, there are talents. So they may be the gifts of the Spirit. Paul goes on to talk about things like, you know, administrations and helps and all those kind of things. I think there are things which, like you say, are peculiar in effect to our lives because that's, you know, a unique calling that God's put on us. And so I would say, for example, the discerning of spirits, do I have that in my life? I would say yes, in certain areas where God has gifted me.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe an understanding, say, money or business. Mm-hmm. It might be I see and experience God in a different way. Mm. Mm. Because I think there's a call on my life in that area. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yes, I think Sadaf, you can definitely have different spiritual gifts at different phases of life. And I think God will lead you in those. They may be, you know, they may come around because, as Paul said, desire spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
So, you know, we seek them out. Or it may be that's just a phase that God's brought us into. And I don't think it's one size fits all at one point in your life. I just think God's way, way bigger than that.
Yeah. And I think actually that's part of God's way of reminding us that he is the giver. It's not us. It's not about us. I think it keeps us humble, keeps us listening, keeps us walking with him. It's going, well, yeah, what do you want me to be operating in at this time? Rather than just like, oh, great, I'm a prophet. I that's what I do.
Yeah.
And that's all I do.
Yeah.
I turn up and every single Sunday morning in a church, I will stand up and grab the microphone and I will speak some deep utterance. I mean, yeah, it's a joke, but it happens as well.
Yeah.
You can get so caught up with this is who I am.
Yeah.
But actually God wants us to keep walking with him and keep humble and say, no, this is a gift I've given you. This is not you. This is me. And you've got to keep in step.
Yeah. And I think actually the other thing that you can do here is part of me is like, it's not for me to stand up and say I'm a prophet, but it's for the Spirit of God to bring that gift through me and bear the fruit of that, which bears testament to that.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Now, yeah. I'm saying that with a slight caveat because I'm aware that Paul, every time he introduces himself, I am an apostle. Is very clear on his on his calling. I'm an apostle and I'm a slave. And he's kind of, you know, okay. So I don't think it's bad to identify your calling. But if that, I guess, if you stand up and say a prophet because it gives you some sense of security or identity.
Yeah, again, it's all about your motivations. Like,
yeah.
why are you saying that? Why do you have to preface whatever you say by that?
Yeah.
Is it because you're trying to build that sense of your own authority, or you want people to, I don't know, respond to you differently because, oh, you're a prophet. You just, yeah, look at your motivation as to why you would say that. I think is, yeah.
Interesting. Good question, Sadaf. Very good question. So here's, I guess, if I'm listening, I'm just trying to think about different people who are listening to the live stream. Mm-hmm. So we've got a little, you know, fairly deep, which is fine if you're a Christian. And you've been around a little while. Let's say you're not a Christian listening to this. You know, you're sort of searching things. Why should someone who's not a Christian care about a very strange sounding topic called the gifts of the Holy Spirit?
It's a really good question, Matt. Why would they? And I think Dave made this point, and he made it for each of the gifts he talked about. They are supernatural. They are something that you do not have ability to do. Because if the church is just a load of people following some good teaching on how to live and trying to love each other, but you worship a God who's all-powerful, there's kind of a...
bit of a mismatch. Kind of,
yeah. Yeah, you're short-selling the church and the Holy Spirit there. So there is a sense, and I think we can all understand we're in places. I mean, people do it all the time, don't we? They have no faith at all. That they may turn to prayer in a place of absolute desperation and go, God, if you're there, please do this, because I can't. We all have those moments daily, weekly, when we're at the end of our ability. And they are gifts. They are given to us by God in his grace and mercy for those very situations where we can do nothing. And they're given for people's blessing and they're given for God's glory. So healing is a great example. It's a gift. It's a gift to us. It's a gift to our families. It's a gift to our communities, our friends, things we cannot do. But you could apply that to any of the other gifts as well. So discernment, wisdom, prophecy. And we're not talking prophecy as like, oh, this is going to happen next week, so much as unpacking a picture or a scripture that really resonates, really speaks to someone's heart in a very deep way and unlocks something they hadn't seen before that brings freedom, that brings healing. So all these things are gifts and you know, generally gifts are there to bless.
Yeah.
So they're here to bless the church, but also to bless all that the church touches and every place that a Christian is, which is why they should be part of our everyday life.
Mm.
So, they can sound a bit weird, but in the end, they're gifts. They're gifts to us as God's people because he loves us and because there's stuff that we just cannot do.
Yeah. No, very good. Very good. And I love that. I love that. It's stuff that we cannot do. We need God fundamentally. I mean, that's what we say.
Yeah.
Like you say, I love that because if all it is we just go to church and listen to, in effect, a self-help sermon.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. It can become self-help really quickly without God's power involved.
Yeah. And that's just not good at all. That's not good at all. So what would your advice be, say, to someone who is fairly new in their Christian faith, or maybe has been a Christian for a while but has never really operated in the gifts of the Spirit? Where would you start?
Start with asking God. Reading. Great to read Acts, which is really where those gifts of the Holy Spirit are probably sort of best described. But then also in the New Testament, as Paul unpacks it in the letters to the new churches. So read the Bible for sure, but be praying. Be asking God and saying, okay, God, give me an understanding of what these gifts are about. Start trying to listen and saying, is there anything you want me to be moving in? I don't think there's any particular one gift to sort of start with so much as just, it's about our posture, isn't it? Listening to God.
That's a very good point. It's about our posture. And you're right, there's not like a scorecard.
Level one
is prophecy, level 10 is working of miracles. It's not like that at all. And I think my experience here is for you as a Christian, you're going to have some kind of inkling which resonates with you, the way that God has made you, you know, to use the mod word the kids use, vibe. What's the vibe?
And I'm not sure the kids do use that.
Do they not?
No, okay, no.
moved on. But I think it's what resonates with you. Where is God leading you? And I think, like Will said, start praying, start seeking God about it. And when the opportunities arrive, step out in faith and take them. Mm-hmm. And when you don't step out in faith because you're a little bit nervous, you're a little bit anxious, don't waste that, but learn from that, right? Journal about it, think about it, pray about it. What was involved in that? And God will give you opportunities to step out in these gifts. And my experience with the gifts of the Spirit, my experience with things of God is, whilst the gifts are not ranked in any way, I think as we step out deeper and deeper and deeper into those gifts. Mm. God seems to trust us more and more as we walk in them. So I don't think God's expecting you to go to a funeral home and lay hands on a coffin and raise the dead straight away if you've never walked in this. I'm not saying that can't happen. I'm just saying I think that you know, God leads us and our faith grows in these areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's right. Another point that Dave just made on the chat is that there's counterfeit. And actually, I think generally people are fascinated with the supernatural. I mean, just have a look at programming schedules or anything to know that there is a fascination with the supernatural. I think, again, because it's kind of outside of our experience and our ability. But he's absolutely right that there are counterfeit to the gifts. If you believe in a spiritual realm, then it's a short step to know that actually there's stuff that's not from the character of God that might just kind of lead people astray or lead them down a bit of a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And I'm just remembering it in Liverpool years ago, something that we kind of stepped out to do as a small group. There was a boat, a YWAM boat that was moored in Liverpool. And it's a kind of boat that sails around the world and tries to share Christ in many different places. And it was in Liverpool. And we decided that around Easter time, we would go and we would, what did we call it? It was like life messages or something. I can't remember what it was, but it was kind of akin to using the sort of language that is used in counterfeit of kind of fortune telling,
yeah.
I guess, that kind of fascination. But it was like, yeah, we're very upfront and say, look, we believe that God has stuff to say into your life. And I think that's a really, again, as a young Christian, why you should be interested, because God wants to show his love. He wants to show his love to you in giving you these gifts beyond your ability, but he wants to show his love through you to others. So we kind of got together and we prayed, and the idea was that passers-by on Liverpool Docks is a busy area, would come and we'd say, you know, do you want to hear from God in your life? And we don't know you at all. We're going to sit and we're going to just pray. I'm just going to listen to God and just say whatever God gives us. It might be some words. It might be a picture. Absolutely terrifying. I mean, you kind of do that in church, but because people are sort of part of it. But I mean, literally had these complete strangers, passers-by, no real kind of background in faith. And they just sit there and you're going, okay, I'm just going to sit for a quiet and just listen to God and see, and to hear what he says.
Yeah.
And you're like, God, you've got to say something, because I'm going to feel just such a fool. There's these like people sat across from me going, yeah, what's all this about? And it was incredible. Some of the things that God spoke, very, very specific into their lives. And it just kind of unlocked something in them. And every time we said this, it's like, it's not about us. It's not about us being flash and going, oh, look, aren't we amazing? Isn't church exciting? This is just God wanting to show you that he knows you and he loves you and he cares about you. And each of the words was about something we could have never have known about them. And it might have come through a picture or a word or just a sort of description of something. But yeah, it was amazing. And I think people left going, oh, yeah, God, I don't even really have a concept of God, but he told this stranger that about me.
Yeah.
And it's because he loves me. And one of my favorite stories was there was this, it wasn't that time, it was another time, but a lady who was on crutches, and older lady, not great mobility, and the word for her was dancer. And it's like, I think God's saying that you should be dancing. And it's like, you know, look at this lady, she can barely walk, let alone dance. And this woman just dissolved in tears, and she then told her story about, as a girl, that's all she wanted to do. She wanted to be a dancer, and she'd completely given up on that hope because of various things that happened in life that had been blocks. And that just showed her something of God's father heart for her. I don't think there was necessarily a healing that she was going to become a dancer, but it was something that, you know, that person praying for her could not have known.
Yeah.
Not known. And didn't, you know, she was a complete stranger to her. And yet it really touched that woman's heart.
Yeah.
And I've no idea what her story was. Maybe she's watching. But, you know, God, that's God's heart in the end. He wants to express his love to his people, those who know him and those that don't. And I think really that's one of the ways we can test out these kind of spiritual gifts. Is like, is this communicating God's love?
Yeah, super powerful ways. Well, is it for the common good? And by good, it's God's goodness.
Yeah.
Right? Is the goodness of God manifest here in someone's life? And we could trade stories all day long. I remember a few years ago, I was due to speak at a church, not our church, different church. And I was, the night before, I just couldn't, I think I was a bit restless in my sleep. And I remember waking up, I've got it journaled. I can't remember the exact time off the top of my head, but it was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing the clock by the side of the bed. It wasn't my bed. So there was an alarm clock. There's not normally an alarm clock by the side of my bed, but there's this alarm clock there. And I remember the time. And you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you remember the dream, because for whatever reason, I remember this dream where I had this real clear dream of a woman in a bath, not in a pervy way, just want to point that out. I didn't see anything I shouldn't see. But she was leaning over the side of the bath, crying her eyes out, just pouring her heart out to God. Now, I couldn't see her face. I just saw it almost from like a bird's eye. Mm. And I saw the tears as they were coming down the side of the bath turn to gold, right? It was a pretty memorable dream, right? A pretty vivid. And I remember I remember going to the church the next day and doing the talk, and it was okay. I think, I don't know. They've never invited me back. No. But I remember thinking, I need to share that story. And I said, I stood up and I shared this story. And I said, I don't know why I'd need to share this dream with you. This was a dream that I had. And this was the time that I woke up. And if that resonates with anyone, then I would love to pray for you. A woman came up to me and said, it was me in the bath. I was in the bath at 4 o'clock this morning, leaning over the side of it, like you said, crying and pouring out my heart. And I was just tears coming down my face. And I don't get those dreams every day. I just want to be super clear, right? But this was the gifts of the Holy Spirit in manifestation for her good.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
don't get me wrong. Absolutely. It properly, insanely blessed me.
Yeah.
Because why would it not? I remember, you know, and we prayed together and we laughed together and we just rejoiced together because it was such a supernatural occurrence.
Yeah.
For God to do that, to break into her life.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's all fantastic. For the common good.
Fantastic.
So,
yeah.
Well, I think we should probably end our conversation, Street, because I think we're just going to keep going. Just notice the time. Listen, I'm going to put on the screen our web address, www.crowd.church, or on social media at Crowd Church. You can reach us either way. We would love to hear from you. Got any stories, anything you want to share? Or if you've got any prayer requests, anything you'd like us to pray about, do let us know. Reach out to us. We get lots of prayer requests every week. And it's so great to hear from people all over the world. You know, just being able to stand with you guys in prayer is fantastic. And if you are new to the Christian faith, on the website, you will find something called the Alpha Course. Now, we started an Alpha Course 3 weeks ago. We are now on week 4 in the Alpha Course. And so it's not too late to come join us. In fact, we had an email today from somebody who wants to come join the Alpha Course. It's not too late. So if that's you, if you want to know more about the Christian faith, why not come check it out? Just drop us, if you go to the website, www.crowd.church, just follow the link and give us your name and email address, and I will email you all the details for the Alpha Course. It'll be great to see you in there. But Will, in closing, anything else from you, bud?
Yeah, just if this has prompted a load of questions about spiritual gifts, keep listening. We're talking much more about the Holy Spirit in coming weeks and the fruits of the Spirit. But also, get in touch, and very happy to continue that dialogue offline, as it were. So please do get in touch and keep listening.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, next week, we have the fantabulous Dan Orange and Ruth Orange, I believe, because as I said at the start, it's my birthday next week. And I'm on a 3-day intensive course. They just literally moved the dates last minute. So you've got Dan and Ruth. I will try and join in the comments. But you're going to be back in a few weeks doing your talk.
Indeed. Yeah. On goodness.
Yeah. I can't keep him away. Just can't keep him away. I'll be back in a few weeks as well. But listen, it's been great chatting with you guys tonight. Love these conversations. Love it. Because I just come away and going, oh, yeah, some of these things that I'd forgotten about. God, do that in my life, man.
Yeah, amen.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. You're just like, absolutely.
Yeah. Should we pray? Do you want to pray for us?
Yeah, let's pray. Yeah, Lord God, I thank you for the gifts that you give us. I thank you that you know full well the limit of our abilities, Lord God, and that's no limitation for being in your kingdom and seeing your kingdom come. And Lord, I thank you for those gifts that are for the common good. I thank you for they're from the one Spirit. And we can trust you because we know your character, Lord. We know you from your word, and we know that operating in those gifts is a safe space. So, Lord, give us a hunger to do that, Lord. And I just pray for all those that are left wondering, having listened to this, Lord God, would you just start that conversation with them, Lord God. And thank you for the gifts. Thank you for the gifts you've given. Thank you that they are really for our building up and for the common good, as we've heard. So go with us this week as we live supernaturally. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen indeed. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for being in the comments. Peter, good to see you. Thanks, Dave, for the talk. Great spark of a great conversation. I enjoyed that. And if you've been on the Instagram live streaming, you've been dropping in and out, it's been great to see you in there. we will be doing this more and more, I think, over the coming weeks and months, because, you know, why would we not? Why would we not indeed? It seems to work. So very happy with that. So thank you for bearing with us on this test and trial. But if you're watching us on Instagram, big shout out to you. You're a legend. So that's it from me. That's it from Will. Thank you. I'm just looking for the button on here. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a fantastic week wherever you are in the world. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Crowd Church. Now, if you are watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button as well as that little tiny bell notification to get notified the next time we are live. And of course, if you are listening to the podcast, the live stream podcast, make sure you also hit the follow button. Now, by smashing the like button on YouTube or writing a review on your podcast platform, it helps us reach more people with the message that Jesus really does help us live a more meaningful and purposeful life. So if you haven't done so already, be sure to check out our website, www.crowd.church, where you can learn more about us as a church, more about the Christian faith, and also how to connect into our church community. It has been awesome to connect with you, and you are awesome. It's just a burden you have to bear, and hopefully we'll see you next time. That's it from us. God bless you. Bye for now.